today, Rinpoche gave a very thorough explanation of karma that is intention and karma that is attended action according to the four tenet systems of Tibetan Buddhism.
We're once again looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and particularly the section that has the major heading of training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So if we look at that major heading, we can divide that section into three categories. The first category is the mental training. The next category is the measure of the determination to be free, or the measure of one's renunciation. And then the measure of renunciation, rather. And then the third category is dispelling misconceptions. And then the fourth category of ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation or leading to enlightenment. So the first category, which is the mental training, we can divide into two sections. First, in identifying the mind intent on liberation, or identifying the mind which has the determination to be free or a desire to definitely emerge. So if we look, translators note the word renunciation. The literal translation is a desire to definitely emerge. So we have first identifying the mind intent on liberation. Then the second category is the method for developing that mind intent on liberation. So that second category, which is the method, we find there are two categories, reflection on suffering and its origin, and then the second category, which is reflection from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. So if we look then at that first category, reflection on suffering and its origin, we find that there are two categories. First, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So the first category, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, or the first noble truth. We find two categories. First, showing the significance of the Buddha's asserting the truth of suffering as the first of the Four Noble Truths. And then the second category, which is the actual meditation on suffering. The actual meditation on suffering section, we find the general sufferings, and then we find the more specific sufferings, and that's where we find the different categories of suffering, the eight types of suffering, the six types of suffering, the three types of suffering. So once we get through that section, then we get to reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. And under that major heading, there are three categories. So if everybody wants to turn to, it's around page 297. So we find three categories. First, how the afflictions arise. Second category is how you thereby then accumulate karma. And then third category, how you die and are reborn. So that brings us up to the section that we're in. Again, the reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin, and then the three categories of how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn.
Then when we look at the first category of how the afflictions arise, there are four different categories that we've already gone through. First, identifying the afflictions. Second, the order in which they arise. Third, the causes of the afflictions. And then the fourth category is the faults of the afflictions. So we've gone through all of that. And then now we arrive at how you thereby accumulate karma. And then there are two categories, identifying the karma that you accumulate and how you accumulate karma. So page 303 is where we are now in the English. When we have the first category of identifying the karma that you accumulate, there are two karmas, karma that is intention and then karma that is intended action. Karma that is intention is necessarily a mental karma, and karma that is intended action is necessarily a physical karma, of a body and the speech. And then if we look further into the categories, under the how you accumulate karma, we find then two more categories in that section, accumulating karma for pleasant feelings or happy feelings, and then accumulating karma for neutral feelings or feelings that have not been presented in scripture. It would be literal instead of neutral. So now we're going to look at the great treatise on the stage of the path to
enlightenment.
Lapsar. Okay. So we're on page 303. Rinpoche just wanted me to reiterate where we are. The
Sudun.
Okay. So we have already gone through this a little, but we should go through it in a better way. Or I'm not sure if we'll improve or we should go through it in a better way. Ngatsu the Rinpoche Anderson, the Ngatsu Yarda. Oh, okay. So it is that by going through it multiple times, then you'll ascertain the meaning much better.
Saint Yu Nala Yushin Kuashibi Legend Nos
Now we look at the great treatise. The major heading is identifying the karma that you accumulate, and then we have two categories, karma that is intention and karma that is intended action. So here we have a quote from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. So if we look at Asanga's work or body of texts, we find that there are the five treatises on the levels, and then there are two compendiums, the Compendium of Knowledge, and then the Compendium on the Mahayana. So this is from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. And it says, what is intention? It is mental karma that involves the mind. It acts to engage the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. So when we then it says, thus, intention is mental karma, a mental process that moves and urges the mind with which it is associated towards objects. We divide consciousness into six categories: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and then mental consciousness. And when any of among those six are present, there are also the six omnipresent mental factors that are also present. So those are the feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement. So here we find that this karma that is intention is a mental factor, and it's one among those omnipresent mental factors. And that's the one that is intention. Whenever there is this any among those six consciousness, there is necessarily these omnipresent mental factors. This actual mental karma is a mental factor. Diksun Rinpoche.
Ta nyeba sambi le terso nyeba ne sam samba de kune ha yu luma gele tes samba de kune ha yu hej shebe kune ha yu loje loje le nga gele to wa te samba she le za teres.
Lesso. So karma that is intended action is necessarily a karma which is a physical and verbal action. Actually, I think Rinpoche just read this. This is the physical and verbal action motivated by intention. The treasury. And then we have a quote from the Abhidharma Kosha. The quote from the Basubandhu's Abhidharma Kosha, Treasury of Knowledge, says, karma is both intention and what intention produces. Intention is mental karma. What it produces are physical and verbal karma. So it's stating that karma that is intention is necessarily a mental karma and a mental factor. Intention is a mental factor. What intention produces, so in dependence upon this intention, we have physical and verbal karma that takes place. So this is necessarily karma, what intention produces, or karma that is intended action, is necessarily of the body, a karma of the body, or a karma of the speech. So there's a quote from the Abhidharma Kosha. Rinpoche says it's in here, but it says that karma has created all of the world, or all of the karma has created all of the world. What is karma? Karma is intention and intended action. So it's stating that all the world, or meaning all the different countries, etc., the whole world is created by karma, and karma is intention and intended action. So we'll find it somewhere. So as Buddhists, we have all of these different continents in the world. Where are those from? As Buddhists, we state they're from karma.
So
then when we say what is karma, or actually how, it's literally kandre, how is karma, almost in parentheses, created, how is karma, we would answer it is intention and it is intended action. So then it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. Perceptible physical and verbal karma would be, for instance, if someone becomes very angry and their face turns red, this is a perceptible karma, that there's a physical reaction that's taking place. Imperceptible is, for instance, someone who's holding an individual liberation vow. They're holding this vow, but you can't perceive it. You can't see it. It's not perceptible. So these are examples of perceptible and imperceptible physical or verbal, or in the case of the vow, mental karma.
Ta lunga gelela rejita rejima ni yore de zojin kuna res lunga gelela zojin chaus shira mai lo gundus ne zojin kuna shira mha wan de ba las ta lume ini sen zang bar o te ka 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 bar es ta lunga gelela de ne zujin kona yinsa ya te lunga gale la zujin im chago ma res. Pepe inyi ji ka ne lunga gale je ta nyang tun jubi senpa la je bes. Lunga gale ta nyang tun jubi senjun senpa la senpa te lunga gale li ja ukuru ma tu zujin ja ndiga ma res. Senpa la je tos. Ta shi da ma yi wate lunga gale te zujin kona yinsa.
So it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. So they are form. So this is a view of the great exposition school, and also a view that is held by the middle way consequence school. If we look at the other schools, if we look at, for instance, the Satrantika school holds that it is necessarily a mental factor, it is necessarily an intention. And when we find Basubandhu refuting the view of the great exposition school next by way of the view of the Lopu Ninye Sensampa. By way of the mind-only school view. But the sutra school, the Rinpoche, do deba dan sen sampa semjo yin, sempa yin.
Do de basu pun yu sempa du, sempa li jaga du, lu ji li, naga li, sempa li jaga u res, zo jen jan di ma res.
Then do deba dan sen sampa?
Do de ba ge ya tene.
It says Basubandhu refutes this, asserting that physical and verbal karma are intentions that work along with perceptible and physical and verbal behavior. Thus, both forms of karma, intention and intended, are actually intentions. So here, Basubandhu is a view holder of the mind-only school. He's presenting this according to the Sutra school, the Satrantika school, but the Satrantika school and the mind-only school hold, and the middle way autonomy school all hold that karma that is intention and intended action are necessarily intention, therefore necessarily mental factors. So it's the great exposition school and the middle way consequence school both assert that they're form, and then the sutra school, the mind-only school, and the middle way autonomy school assert that they are mental factors, and specifically intention. Diksum Vimche.
That's the lela gawa yore magawa yore lomate sun yuares.
Okay.
Kima ke lomate sun yu jans.
Lesa.
De tamba ni to ki le tamba ki le ni to tu shigres.
Lesa.
Lomate ke sati shigumares.
Lesa.
Gi lela wate gawa ta magawa gi lela gawa ta magawa magawa ni yus. Khatun ga so wate gawa ta shid mar ta gawa chen ni no to temba kaash. Rande name dawan ji ji res temba gi chen ni. Gawa la anna ga so gawa chu tu gawa mar ba.
Lesa.
Gawa ro. Gawa la de yuri ku ne ina ka ji jasna. Tuan tambi gawa. Moni ji gawa. So then you couldn't do Sajun Yeda Gundos. Kundunga to Gi Santa Sumbatemba Yore, Maggie Santa Sumbatemba, Gi Santa Sumbatemba De, and Tondeji Gore, Maggie Santa Sumbatemba De, Tondeji Magua, Romantan Santa Sumbatemba De, Romantan Sundes. Anybody?
Ale Sundan Golong, Ale Dudra, Dudra. You're right. It says, in general, karma is of three types, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But here we are concerned only with the first two. Before we went over the various definitions of virtue, non-virtue, and ethically neutral, or that which is not presented in Scripture. So the definition of virtue is that which is revealed in Scripture and abides in the type or the kind which produces happiness. It's of the type of action, it would be in parentheses, that produces happiness. So that's the definition of virtue. Excuse me. And if we look at the divisions of virtue, we have first ultimate virtue, second nature or natural virtue, or it could be own being translated as virtue. Virtue by association, motivation, and jeje. Jeje gewa.
No, jinde.
Jeje.
Jinde ji gewa.
Na dundan, ngoni. Sunden.
Gewa la yi na de juri ji gwa na je. Ten tan bi gewa.
Lesa.
Ngoni ji gewa.
Lesa.
Sunden ji gewa. Kulung gewa je roa.
Lesa.
Ten tan bi gewa taba di yin se. Taba tan bi yin se.
Okay.
Taba ten tan bi gewa re.
Lesa.
Taba taba roa gewa ma re.
Lesa.
Gewa mi taba san re.
Okay.
Taba tan. Taba.
Lesa.
Taba tan bi yin se. Less. Tada tsumba tebe kundu nga la suwa te tuk nga la tsundan jiga wa res. Ane tada tanda tsundan shiwa la su kundu yu. Ane kundu nabe lunga ki shiwa te tuk nga la kundu ki gwa ta ma gwa ta luma te tanda wa res. Taba tanbi se tuyan tanbi gwa res.
Taba, leso.
Gita se te chen duwa nga
tu. Ngoni.
Gita te ngoni jiga wa res.
Leso.
Gita shiwa se na. Deja me bi gita.
Lesa.
Shada me bi tumu me bi gita.
Lesa.
Yusun, tuusun, gita sun.
Gita sun.
Lesa. Uzun yuedi marbeh.
Yeah. Lesa. We can divide. We're going to use the four divisions of virtue. Ultimate virtue. Virtue of nature. I have down inherent existence. Or own being virtue. Association and then motivation. So Rinpoche then gave examples. So ultimate virtue is actually liberation, nirvana or liberation. So it's not actually virtue because liberation is permanent. So it's just nominally designated as virtue, but virtue is impermanent. So liberation is permanent. So it's not actually virtue. So this category, the first category of virtue, isn't actually virtue. It's just named as virtue. The second category, which is nature virtue, or its own being virtue, is the three root virtues. So if we look at the seven-point thought transformation, Geshe Chikawa's Lojong text, we find that it says the three objects, the three root virtues, the three poisons, Yulsun, Dusun, the three objects, the three poisons, and the three Getsasun, the three root virtues. So the three root virtues are the absence of attachment, the virtue which is the opposite or absence of attachment, the virtue which is the opposite or absence of hatred or anger, and the virtue which is the absence or opposite of ignorance. So these are the three root virtues, and that's what we're referring to when we say the natural or virtue. And then association is referring to the omnipresent mental factors. When we have virtuous omnipresent mental factors, then this is what it's referring to, because those are always present with the consciousness itself. So virtue, non-virtue, and that which hasn't been presented in scripture or ethically neutral, all have these four types. And if there are... I'm sorry, all have this association. So there is a non-virtuous association if the omnipresent mental factors are non-virtuous that are coexisting with the consciousness, or if they're ethically neutral, or if they're virtuous. So all three of those, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral, we find abiding in these omnipresent mental factors along with the consciousness itself. And then the last is motivation. Then gulung. Gulung. So if we have and then the last is motivation. So if we have a virtuous motivation, then our actions or activities that we do from that are virtuous. So if we have this virtuous motivation, our body acts virtuously, our speech acts virtuously. So this is what is meant by association. So virtue really is the abandonment of the 10 non-virtuous activities, the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, but we can divide virtue into these four categories also. Deekson.
First ultimate virtue is liberation. The natural virtue, which is the absence, I guess it is really absence is the best word, of attachment, absence of hatred, or absence of ignorance, doesn't need the motivation or this association present, this mere absence of these things, this natural absence of attachment, hatred, or ignorance. You don't have to have a motivation for this absence or an actual associating mental, omnipresent mental factor in association with it. Deekson.
Taggawa luma ten ta magawa chibaro wata magawa marba. Magawa tena ten drabun drabun injere luma ten. Magawa da ten tabi magawa.
Yeah, they got it.
Kete jaba ina do no kwa jago ena.
Kwa.
Kwa. Taba ten tabi gawa jago roa. Ne ten tabi ta kwa te ku.
So if we look at then non-virtue, we would have these different categories. So first, the ultimate non-virtue would be cyclic existence.
So I was just asking Rinpoche if there's an ultimate that is impermanent, and cyclic existence is impermanent. So he said that ultimate doesn't require permanence. It just is in the case of the virtue, ultimate liberation. So ultimate would be cyclic existence in the case of non-virtue. Natural non-virtue would be the three poisons themselves. The motivation would be, if one has a non-virtuous motivation, then one engages in a lot of misdeeds, in non-virtuous activities. Association, non-virtue by association refers to those omnipresent mental factors of feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement being non-virtuous, accompanying these non-virtue. So that's the association. Okay, decent. So virtue has contaminated and uncontaminated categories. When we look at, so it says in general, virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, of which there are two types, that present in a noble being's mind and that present in an ordinary person's mind. So what does this mean, contaminated virtue or uncontaminated virtue? Contaminated refers to four different categories. Afflictions, obstructions to omniscience, conceptuality, and cyclic existence. So these are the four categories of contaminated. So we find this presented in the Abhidharma teachings, where it says these four categories are
the Abhidharma
Perfection of Wisdom teachings, we find these four categories of contamination, the afflictions, obstructions to omniscience, conceptuality, and cyclic existence. Diksun.
Abhidharma kusha tesigre, saji kanshe tadala sana kuti jeban churus, saji meba tan tune kanun kune saba jesurun wat saji res. Abhidharma kusha mungudule. Tasa metal tin tabadan
So if we look at what this contaminated means, the object of observation is contained within contamination, then the omnipresent mental factors apprehending it necessarily will be. So then there are omnipresent mental factors. We have this intention, for instance, if we have attachment, and then we become attached to something. So if the object is contaminated, then the reaction as well is contaminated. And we find this in the Abhidharma teachings. And then if we ask what is uncontaminated or not contaminated, we would say, liberation is not contaminated. If we look at or looking for something that is not contaminated, that is a compound, then we would say the direct valid cognition of emptiness at the path of seeing, at the path of meditation, and at the path of no more learning. So if we look at the Heart Sutra and we see the mantra, Teyata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha, the first two gates, gate gate, refer to the path of accumulation and path of preparation. And then paragate parasamgate bodhisoha refer to the path of seeing, path of meditation, and path of no more learning. So the direct perception of emptiness on those pathways are all examples of compounded phenomena that are necessarily uncontaminated. We'll take a short break. We're once again looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and particularly the section that has the major heading of training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So if we look at that major heading, we can divide that section into three categories. The first category is the action, the mental training. The next category is the measure of the determination to be free, or the measure of one's renunciation, and then the measure of renunciation, rather. And then the third category is dispelling misconceptions. And then the fourth category of ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation or leading to enlightenment. So the first category, which is the mental training, we can divide into two sections. First, in identifying the mind intent on liberation, or identifying the mind which has the determination to be free or a desire to definitely emerge. So if we look, translators note the word renunciation, the literal translation is a desire to definitely emerge.
So we have first identifying the mind intent on liberation, and the second category is the method for developing that mind intent on liberation. So that second category, which is the method, we find there are two categories, reflection on suffering and its origin, and then the second category, which is reflection from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. So if we look then at that first category, reflection on suffering and its origin, we find that there are two categories. First, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So the first category, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, or yeah, the first noble truth, we find two categories. First, showing the significance of the Buddha's asserting the truth of suffering as the first of the Four Noble Truths, and then the second category, which is the actual meditation on suffering. The actual meditation on suffering section, we find the general sufferings, and then we find the more specific sufferings, and that's where we find the different categories of suffering, the eight types of suffering, the six types of suffering, the three types of suffering. So once we get through that section, then we get to reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. And under that major heading, there are three categories. So if everybody wants to turn to, it's around page 297. So we find three categories. First, how the afflictions arise. Second category is how you thereby then accumulate karma. And then third category, how you die and are reborn. So that brings us up to the section that we're in. Again, the reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin, and then the three categories of how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. Then when we look at the first category of how the afflictions arise, there are four different categories that we've already gone through. First, identifying the afflictions. Second, the order in which they arise. Third, the causes of the afflictions. And then the fourth category is the faults of the afflictions. So we've gone through all of that. And then now we arrive at how you thereby accumulate karma. And then there are two categories, identifying the karma that you accumulate and how you accumulate karma. So page 303 is where we are now in the English. When we have the first category of identifying the karma that you accumulate, there are two karmas, karma that is intention and then karma that is intended action. Karma that is intention is necessarily a mental karma, and karma that is intended action is necessarily a physical karma of a body and the speech. And then if we look further into the categories, under the how you accumulate karma, we find then two more categories in that section, accumulating karma for pleasant feelings or happy feelings, and then accumulating karma for neutral feelings or feelings that have not been presented in scripture. It would be literal instead of neutral. So now we're going to look at the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment. Lapsar. Okay. So we're on page 303. Rinpoche just wanted me to reiterate where we are. The Peik?
Peik Nyeja Sonsu Sudun Ro.
Sudun, okay. So we have already gone through this a little, but we should go through it in a better way. Or I'm not sure if we'll improve or we should go through it in a better way. Ngatsu the Rinpoche Anderson, the Ngatsu Yarda. Oh, okay. So it is that by going through it multiple times, then you'll ascertain the meaning much better. Now we look at the great treatise. The major heading is identifying the karma that you accumulate, and then we have two categories, karma that is intention and karma that is intended action. So here we have a quote from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. So if we look at Asanga's work or body of texts, we find that there are the five treatises on the levels, and then there are two compendiums, the Compendium of Knowledge, and then the Compendium on the Mahayana. So this is from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. And it says, what is intention? It is mental karma that involves the mind. It acts to engage the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. Thus, intention is mental karma, a mental process that moves and urges the mind with which it is associated towards objects. We divide consciousness into six categories: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and then mental consciousness. And when any of among those six are present, there are also the six omnipresent mental factors that are also present. So those are the feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement. This karma that is intention is a mental factor, and it's one among those omnipresent mental factors. And that's the one that is intention. Whenever there is this any among those six consciousness, there is necessarily these omnipresent mental factors. So this actual mental karma is a mental factor. Diksun Rinpoche.
Ta nyeba sanpi le terso nyeba ne sam semba de kun ne ha yu luna gele tes semba de kun ha yu hej shebe kun ha yu loje loje le nga gele to wa te samba she le za teres
so so karma that is intended action is necessarily a karma which is a physical and verbal action. Actually, I think Rinpoche just read this. This is the physical and verbal action motivated by intention. So this is the treasury. And then we have a quote from the Abhidharma Kosha.
Samba len samba tan te she sambi le da te she be sambi le ni ores ane samba yi jile samba de yi jile des marbe sambi le de yi jile des te ji lo da sambi le de je bi da la ten de je bi lo da ga le de ane sambi le se res te ji lo da ga le she son ba ta ro sa
So then the quote from the Basubandhu's Abhidharma Kosha, Treasury of Knowledge, says, karma is both intention and what intention produces. Intention is mental karma. What it produces are physical and verbal karma. So it's stating that karma that is intention is necessarily a mental karma and a mental factor. Intention is a mental factor. What intention produces... So in dependence upon this intention, we have physical and verbal karma that takes place. So this is necessarily karma, what intention produces, or karma that is intended action, is necessarily of the body, a karma of the body, or a karma of the speech.
Jiden hasu ba country ndamana wuyoro ta mei lumba lai lumba oto sama lel che bare jiden hasu lele che len samba ta de che samba yi che len te che lu do nga ke les because the sanje jo 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 ne jibar won Jiden je mini country the lele che baris.
Okay.
Ona lele karis na lele samba tante che samba yi che le te che lu dong ak les.
The triwa dong drapo the kaba the.
Ta de jiden na so lele che si song duwa. Ona lele karis na sambi le de sambi le o den de res.
Okay.
She umar be.
So there's a quote from the Abhidharma Kosha. Rinpoche says it's in here, but it says that karma has created all of the world, or all of the karma has created all of the world. What is karma? Karma is intention and intended action. So it's stating that all the world, or meaning all the different countries, etc., the whole world is created by karma, and karma is intention and intended action. So we'll find it somewhere. So as Buddhists, we have all of these different continents in the world. Where are those from? As Buddhists, we state they're from karma.
Lele jiba inan le de kan de yo arzana le le ne samba tan de samba yi jil de jil lu dong angles wo de shi um wa de
so then when we say what is karma or actually how it's literally kanji how is karma almost in parentheses created how is karma we would answer it is intention and it is intended action
She's on Bataros and Lunag Lela and Lunag Lela, Rigit and Rigit, my name, and Susine, Zuzin Kona Shadam, Mawan, Dubala, and Lumay, Chicago, Dusata, Lugile, and Agile, dala reje dala reje ma imni yuwaris.
Lasa.
Naba reje gizu, kulun reba shibe reje gizu dan, reje ma imi zu nyi. Kulun reba shibe reje gizu dan azu, lun la tani chiz, doma bula soba tuzu reje gizu marba. Reje ma imi zu ta, suta gudomba. Gichu gudomba ta, galon gudomba ta, ginyen gudomba. Wa tuzu imbare.
Tambo yanjusun?
La. Lungagi Rigi the Rigi, my little
Lungagi.
Rigi sent Tamar, but Tangazu Duma Charles and Duma was what she had the Hazon to Gibare.
Okay. Lesson
Rigi, da.
Rigi,
my mother, so that don't want to marble. Yeah.
So then it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. Perceptible karma, physical and verbal karma would be, for instance, if someone becomes very angry and their face turns red, this is a perceptible karma, that there's a physical reaction that's taking place. Imperceptible is, for instance, someone who's holding an individual liberation vow. They're holding this vow, but you can't perceive it. You can't see it. It's not perceptible. So these are examples of perceptible and imperceptible physical or verbal, or in the case of the vow, mental karma.
Shedam Han Dubalas Talhumin in his hands number of the car is that Lungagle than Zujin Kona is at Lungagle Zujim Chogmat is Tumin in his carne Lungagle Rigit on Yadun Jubi Sambala Jibis Lungagle on Yadun Jubi Sangun Sambal de Lungagle Jab Gurumatu Zujin Jatan Digamat is. And sample as it was. Tasha Damay, what the Lunga Little Zujin Kona is?
That's it.
Moshe Mezun do. Umatanu Zujin Kona is a grace.
That's it.
And do the boss of Pun Sabandus. Do the boss of Lunga Little and over there Pun Sambal Jagandus. Tell the Nyadu Jubi Sambal Jagandus. Do the boss of Pun Sambal Sajun Sambat is Rota.
Semba, okay, less so. So it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. So they are form. So this is a view of the great exposition school, and also a view that is held by the middle way consequence school. If we look at the other schools, if we look at, for instance, the Satrantika school holds that it is necessarily a mental factor, it is necessarily an intention. And when we find Vasubandhu refuting the view of the great exposition school next by way of the view of the Lopu Ninye Sensampa. By way of the mind-only school view. But the sutra school, the Rinpoche, Do Depa Dan Sen Sampa Semjo Yin, Sempa Yin.
No, the boss of Pun Sempa is Sembal Jagadu, Lujili Nagali, Sembal Jaguris, Zujin Jan Jimadis.
Then Do Depa Dan Sampa?
No, the Bagayatane.
It says Vasubandhu refutes this, asserting that physical and verbal karma are intentions that work along with perceptible and physical and verbal behavior. Thus, both forms of karma, intention and intended, are actually intentions. So here, Vasubandhu is a view holder of the mind-only school. He's presenting this according to the Sutra school, the Satrantika school, but the Satrantika school and the mind-only school hold, and the middle way autonomy school all hold that karma that is intention and intended action are necessarily intention, therefore necessarily mental factors. So it's the Great Exposition School and the Middle Way Consequence School both assert that they're form. And then the Sutra School, the Mind-Only School, and the Middle Way Autonomy School assert that they are mental factors, and specifically intention. Diksum Vimache.
Okay.
You're right. It says, in general, karma is of three types, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But here we are concerned only with the first two. Before we went over the various definitions of virtue, non-virtue, and ethically neutral, or that which is not presented in Scripture. So the definition of virtue is that which is revealed in Scripture and abides in the type or the kind which produces happiness. It's of the type of action, it would be in parentheses, that produces happiness. So that's the definition of virtue. Excuse me. And if we look at the divisions of virtue, we have first ultimate virtue, second nature or natural virtue, or it could be own being translated as virtue. Virtue by association, motivation, and jeje. Jeje, gewa.
No, jinde.
Jeje.
Tada
We can divide. We're going to use the four divisions of virtue. Ultimate virtue, virtue of nature, or I have down inherent existence, or own being virtue, association, and then motivation. So Rinpoche then gave examples. So ultimate virtue is actually liberation. Nirvana or liberation. So it's not actually virtue, because liberation is permanent, so it's just nominally designated as virtue, but virtue is impermanent. So liberation is permanent. So it's not actually virtue. So this category, the first category of virtue, isn't actually virtue. It's just named as virtue. The second category, which is nature virtue, or its own being virtue, is the three root virtues. So if we look at the seven-point thought transformation, Geshe Chikawa's Lojong text, we find that it says the three objects, the three root virtues, the three poisons, Yosun, Dusun, the three objects, the three poisons, and the three getsasun, the three root virtues. So the three root virtues are the absence of attachment, the virtue which is the opposite or absence of attachment, the virtue which is the opposite or absence of hatred or anger, and the virtue which is the absence or opposite of ignorance. So these are the three root virtues, and that's what we're referring to when we say the natural or virtue. And then association is referring to the omnipresent mental factors. When we have virtuous omnipresent mental factors, then this is what it's referring to, because those are always present with the consciousness itself. So virtue, non-virtue, and that which hasn't been presented in scripture or ethically neutral, all have these four types. And if there are, I'm sorry, all have this association. So there is a non-virtuous association if the omnipresent mental factors are non-virtuous that are coexisting with the consciousness, or if they're ethically neutral, or if they're virtuous. So all three of those, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral, we find abiding in these omnipresent mental factors along with the consciousness itself. And then the last is motivation. Then gulung, So if we have and then the last is motivation. So if we have a virtuous motivation, then our actions or activities that we do from that are virtuous. So if we have this virtuous motivation, our body acts virtuously, our speech acts virtuously. So this is what is meant by association. So virtue really is the abandonment of the 10 non-virtuous activities, the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, but we can divide virtue into these four categories also. Deekson.
Less so.
First ultimate virtue is liberation. The natural virtue, which is the absence, absence is the best word, of attachment, absence of hatred, or absence of ignorance, doesn't need the motivation or this association present, this mere absence of these things, this natural absence of attachment, hatred, or ignorance. You don't have to have a motivation for this absence or an actual associating mental, omnipresent mental factor, an association with it. Diksu. So if we look at then non-virtue, we would have these different categories. So first, the ultimate non-virtue would be cyclic existence. So I was just asking Rinpoche if there's an ultimate that is impermanent, and cyclic existence is impermanent. So he said that ultimate doesn't require permanence. It just is in the case of the virtue, ultimate liberation. So ultimate would be cyclic existence in the case of non-virtue. Natural non-virtue would be the three poisons themselves. The motivation would be, if one has a non-virtuous motivation, then one engages in a lot of misdeeds, in non-virtuous activities. Association, non-virtue by association refers to those omnipresent mental factors of feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement, being non-virtuous, accompanying these non-virtue. So that's the association. Okay, decent. So virtue has contaminated and uncontaminated categories. When we look at, so it says in general, virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, of which there are two types, that present in a noble being's mind and that present in an ordinary person's mind. So what does this mean, contaminated virtue or uncontaminated virtue? Contaminated refers to four different categories. Afflictions, obstructions to omniscience, conceptuality, and cyclic existence. So these are the four categories of contaminated. So we find this presented in the Abhidharma teachings, where it says these four categories are.
The Abhidharma Madhva, Pashidhu.
Oh, so I'm sorry. In the perfection of wisdom teachings, we find these four categories of contamination, the afflictions, obstructions to omniscience, conceptuality, and cyclic existence. Diksun.
Abu Dhamma Kusha Tesugre, Saji Kasha Tadala Sana Kuti Jevanjurus, Saji Miba Tone Karungune, Saba Jesurum Saji is Abu Dhamma Kusha Mumu.
Yanju Kali Yanjusu.
Miba Tone Karungune, Saba Jesurum Saji is.
Sapa Jesu Rua.
That may be going to Sapa Jesu Rua. Tony is going to Sapa Jesu Rua. Tabananga to Michita, Michita Zunisha Sajiro. Saji, you may be Zu Taji, and the Michita were the Yajiwa Jimano, may be Jay. Tony going to Sapa Jesu Rua Sena. Tony going to Sapa Jesu Tatane, ne, the chat to somebody we couldn't go to two.
So if we look at what this contaminated means, if the object of observation is contained within contamination, then the omnipresent mental factors apprehending it necessarily will be. So then there are omnipresent mental factors. We have this intention, for instance, if we have attachment, and then we become attached to something. So if the object is contaminated, then the reaction as well is contaminated, and we find this in the Abhidharma teachings. And then if we ask what is uncontaminated or not contaminated, we would say liberation is not contaminated. If we look at or looking for something that is not contaminated, that is a compound, then we would say the direct valid cognition of emptiness at the path of seeing, at the path of meditation, and at the path of no more learning. So if we look at the Heart Sutra and we see the mantra, Teata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha, the first two gates, Gate Gate, refer to the path of accumulation and path of preparation. And then Paragate Parasamgate Bodhisoha refer to the path of seeing, path of meditation, and path of no more learning. So the direct perception of emptiness on those pathways are all examples of compounded phenomena that are necessarily uncontaminated. So we'll take a short break.